Welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the very perfect episode, the very best episode of our entire week's work, because here in this episode, you're going to hear the world champion speech from this year, taken apart by our star analyzer, Moira O'Brien. Put your hands together for the number one analytic voice on the Talk Show for Talkers, Moira O'Brien.
As usual, Paul, you've set me up for a fall with your kind introductions, because, of course, I'm none of those things. But I do have a few ideas. And one of the beauties of this year's World Championship of Public Speaking was the fact that it was virtual. Well, virtual is the wrong word. It was on screen. There was no live audience. That, of course, made a huge difference because there was no response. But let's put that aside, because what I want to talk about today is all about screen presence. That's probably a better way of putting it than the title that I was going to give to this, which is Body Language and Movement. Let's just call it screen presence. Now, it will help if you have seen the video, or if you like, pause this and put the video up and play it along as I talk, because there is a lot of this that is visual, but I'll try and describe it as much as I can. Let's start right from the very beginning. Instead of standing mid-screen, Mike actually goes right into the bottom left-hand corner, as we view it, of the screen. Just that little bit of him there. And he starts talking, and he slides away as he talks about a door closing. And he goes right to the very side of the screen. He almost disappears off screen completely. And then he comes back on screen again. And it's all perfectly timed into the speech and what he's actually saying. And then he goes back to the center. And then as he is coming out of the speech, coming out of the, let's say, the dialogue, he goes right close up to the screen to make the point. And then he goes into his introduction. So that's the first bit. It's brilliant use of the screen space, which we didn't see in anybody else's speech, at least not to this degree by any means. But it's not only that, it was his facial expressions. You could actually see the story unfolding. And we go on to the second bit, where the projector has broken down and the film has broken, and we get, he actually demonstrates on screen how the film had broken, and you get this fluttering on the screen. And he then moved again to the side of the screen, and again he actually put his hand in front of the camera, right in front of the camera, and had up and down and up and down to show what happens when you have a broken film in a projector. That was absolutely brilliant, because there's no doubt in our minds exactly what's happening. Not only did he describe it very well with his voice, he described it perfectly with his actions. His actions were totally concurrent with what he was saying. He also gave extremely good facial expression when he talked about how he could smell the burning, and he was sniffing, he was there, he was present in the moment with the burning, the smell of burning. We go on to the next bit. Conversation. Now, conversation is a tricky thing to represent well on screen. We have a lot of people who will turn their body 90 degrees to talk to somebody on their right, and then turn their body 90 degrees the other way to talk to their person, the other person. So representing two people talking together. Now, the cleverer people, they just move a little bit, maybe 30 degrees to one side and 30 degrees to the other side. Mike did it even better. Because when he started out, he was on the floor with the bits of the projector all around him and trying to put it back together. The librarian comes in, and the librarian, all he does when he's talking as the librarian is he looks down and to the right, just a tiny, tiny bit to the right. But it was enough for us to know exactly what's happening. The librarian was standing up, Mike is on the floor, and the librarian was talking directly to him. It was perfect. He didn't need to go overboard and turn a long way to represent that. Just that little movement of the head was all it needed. So then, when Mike was talking to the librarian, he was looking up and to the left. Librarian, down to the right. Mike, up to the left. You knew, you could see this visually on screen, that Mike was talking to a standing up librarian. Then, when he was talking about the disassembly of the projector, he moved all the way to the right of the screen. And he stood there on the right side of the screen. And then he went back to a description. And then, half a minute later, he returned to the assembly of the projector in exactly the same space that he started off disassembling the projector. So that was perfect. He took us physically back in the story and physically on stage to where he was when he started disassembling the projector. So that was, again, perfect. Then the brilliant bit where he'd switch the projector on again. And I thought to myself when I heard this first, this is a perfect moment for a pregnant pause. And there on the screen, there was nothing. That's what I thought he would do. But he didn't. And in some ways, I think that was the right thing to do because we all expected him to pause. But instead he said, and there on the screen, there was nothing. Nothing! He stood up and he raised his hand. Nothing! And that accelerated the problem. So, sometimes it is actually better not to go for the obvious pause, but actually to do something which is unexpected. Well, that, folks, is really all that I wanted to say about this. I know I've have plenty of time left and I should be covering lots more, but I want to open it up to Paul and Ted just to see what their reactions are and if they've got anything to add to this little dissection. And this is only the first 3 minutes or so of the speech. There's a lot more in the rest of the speech, but I didn't have time to go through and dissect absolutely everything. So Ted, your thoughts?
Well, I think you did a lovely job on the evaluation, Maura. You picked out some of the finer points, and something that I've learned over the past couple of weeks, and particularly since the World Championship finals, that when you're giving a speech on stage, it's completely different to give it to a camera. Mm.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah, I agree.
And you picked up on the points lovely. For instance, if you were on stage, you would be giving the gestures, turning to the left, turning to the right. Whereas, as you said, all Mike was doing was just moving his head. And 'twas all eye movement, which was very important. Mm. And a great example of evaluation, particularly for this time of Zoom.
Thanks a lot, Ted, for that. That's much appreciated. Paul, do you have any thoughts you'd like to share?
I'm very influenced by having heard Mike talk about the speech afterwards on at a meeting of Toastmasters, which I tuned into online. And he, the amount of care and attention that he put with his coach, he had a speech coach for this latter stages of the contest. The amount of care and attention they put into every single gesture was staggering. And I've often, there's no doubt that Mike stood out from everybody else in terms of the choreography of his speech. No doubt about that at all. And I've seen lots and lots of people comment about that. There were all sorts of debates going on about the content of the speech, and I guess they'll continue forever. But there's no doubt that that's the finest example of anyone at a Toastmasters meeting using the stage, the internet stage, for the purpose of making a speech. Yeah. And for that, I think it'll probably go down in history. All other speeches that I can think of, you know, had lots of movement and things, but none was ever, well, of course, none was ever crafted specially for the Zoom environment.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing Mike speak about another topic on Sunday next, when he talks to the One Country, One World Club. And so that is, and I'm also looking forward to hearing him doing some impromptu speaking, if ever he's willing to be interviewed on the Talk Show for Talkers.
Well, folks, I can assure you, folks, that we have invited Mike to come on the show, and he has agreed. We just need to arrange a date. So keep your ears open for that. But now I'm going to call the show to a close. Thanks a lot for tuning in this week, and I hope you enjoyed it. And you'll come again and join us on next Friday for our next session, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, as always. So from Ted and myself, a goodbye. See you next week. The Talk Show for Talkers is published every week in sections at 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Go to our website, irishtalkers.com, for more information.